You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today's guest is Dr. Sarah Larson, and she has some really incredible tips for us. She's a behavioral and medical specialist. And within this interview, you're going to really learn a lot. So I can't wait to get right into it with her. Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
A negative mind will never give you a positive life. A negative mind will never give you a positive life.
You know, I think a lot of people overview that and just simplify it and go, oh, yeah, that's true. But if you really, really think about that simple quote, you get what you focus on.
Right.
A negative mind will never give you a positive life.
Right.
It is so simple that people
overlook it.
Overlook it and throw it away.
Yeah.
But if you just sit down and take a moment to really think about that, what do I normally do? Do I normally complain about my job, complain about where I live, complain about my friends, complain, mm-hmm. complain? Well, then that's all you do. Then that's all you're going to continually get, swim within those complaints and swim within that negativity. But if you start to acknowledge things and just go from a positive attitude of, what am I appreciative of? Mm-hmm. What do I appreciate? I do appreciate this sofa. It changes everything, you know.
And I want to say that something that people can do is something that you and I do with each other, and we've been doing for years. If you or I say a negative comment, then you or I say to the other one, what's the positive side of that? Or we say what the positive side of that is and say, let's change that thought.
Right, right.
So, and that's a good practice for people. Find a partner that you can do that with and say, hey, keep me in check. If I say something negative, call me on it so that I can turn it around in my mind.
Yeah, and if you need a quick reminder, go to my website, sainttone.com, and play the song Best Case Scenario.
USALuxuryDirect.com, luxury goods to your doorstep. Get name brands like Waterford Crystal, Kate Spade, Swarovski Crystal, a variety of luxury items straight to your doorstep. Get ready for the holiday season. Go to USALuxuryDirect.com. So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
I have to say this is probably my most favorite story that I've ever got to share in the almost 3 years we've been doing this.
Wow, so it's got to be good then.
Yes. Finally, after many, 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 many years overdue, China government has done something so spectacular that it has changed the world's view. It is banning the sale of ivory. So what it did was forced the drop of the price of ivory by 50% over the last 6 months. Therefore, poachers are not getting their big dollars anymore, so it's no longer worth them killing elephants for ivory.
Wow, that is awesome.
Finally. So what they're crediting is in March, there was a commercial that was created by David Beckham, Ming Chow, a couple of very famous celebrities. And they aired it 71 times in one day, this commercial. And they're saying that as a result of that, public knowledge went from 14% of the population of Asia recognizing the problem with poaching elephants to 71% because of that one commercial being aired 71 times.
Right, but see, that knowledge is power, and just people knowing that would make the difference. That could change. So if we were to take that same example and apply it to other things like the rainforest and stuff, it would be amazing.
It was Yao Ming, Prince William, and David Beckham that did this commercial together. And literally, the price now of ivory has dropped 50% in China. China was the biggest purchaser of ivory. Well, now, the government of China has now officially banned ivory in Asia.
Excellent. I'm very excited about that. And I'd love to see more things happen in this same way.
Yeah.
Through commercials and start spreading some news that we can make some major changes out there.
Well, it just shows you that it's doable. It's so doable. So that is my good news.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations. Wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience.
I'm in it for money.
At www.sainttone.com.
We can always work it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to
for music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. December 11th to the 13th is the Green Sustainability Expo in Portland, Oregon. December 17th to the 20th, Awakening Your Higher Crystalline Senses, Tucson, Arizona. December 17th to the 23rd, Insight Meditation Solstice Retreat, Woodacre, California. December 29th to January 2nd, Renew, Relax, Recharge Spiritual Retreat, Nevada City, California. If you're looking for something to do and you want to plan ahead to a vacation, we have events all the way through May of 2016 on our events calendar. So feel free to join us. And if you know of something we should be posting, please let us know on humanitarianradio.com.
Hey, we're back with Sarah Larson, MD. She is a behavioral and medical specialist. How are you, Sarah?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Tony?
I am doing great. You know, I had an opportunity to check out your bio, and you have been extremely busy, and you're doing such great things out there. I really want to just jump in, and how did you get involved in this? You know, how did you become a behavioral and medical specialist, an educator? How did you get involved in all this? Was this something that intuitively you started as a young child, or did you just evolve into it? I'm always curious on how people end up where they are.
I am so grateful to be in the U.S. and to be able to share my love out into the world. I was born in Pakistan, and it's an amazing thing. Even though we came to the States when I was young, 7, 8 years old, at age 14, I was married to a 28-year-old doctor.
Wow.
And this is, and he was raised in Pakistan, educated in Pakistan, and he truly expected a proper wife. And at age 14, I had very little training on how to be a proper girl for Pakistan or for that region. I grew up in New Orleans. and particularly, especially in the French Quarter of New Orleans, which is a jazz and club and funky, everyone being themselves. My dad is an engineer and he worked for Procter & Gamble. My mom started a business in the French Quarter. And the French Quarter has different streets. One street, like Royal Street, everything is antique and royal. There's Charter Street and everything is eclectic. And then there's Bourbon Street. And Bourbon Street, just like the name sounds, lots of alcohol and bourbon.
It's legendary.
It's legendary. Musicians. That's where I spent most of my time from like 11, from actually 9, 10, 11, 12. At some point, I asked my parents, when can I start dating? And they were constantly busy and traditional without really having a lot of time to pass down the customs. And my mom had been married when she was a young girl that started her period. My grandmothers, all of them, it's a tradition in the family, to intermarriage. My parents were first cousins. I didn't know they had already picked someone out for me who was twice my age. Anyway, I wound up in this marriage, and culturally and traditionally, you want to honor your family and not bring a great deal of shame in any shape or form. And marriage is the ultimate thing that binds a family. And in the custom there, it's much better for you to be dead than to be divorced. And especially if you have sisters, or if you're raised in the tradition and proper. And so by age 19, my 28-year-old doctor husband had aged, had gotten a green card, was very, very angry. And so I was left for dead through medication. I'd signed off my property that I had, all of it, to him. I'd sent to my family under medication suicide notes that were dictated to me so that the position that he was in would result in his sisters being able to be married and not his family not having a great deal of shame. And I survived that.
Wow.
And when I came out of I was taken, one of my uncles in Pakistan broke down the door and he pulled my body out and took me to the hospital because I was non-responsive and they pumped my stomach. And I woke up to my mom's mom, my grandmother, saying, "Oh, my sweet daughter, oh, my sweet child, what shame you've brought to us." And even though I know she was glad I was alive at that moment, it's such a painful thing for the entire family to have this amount of shame, divorce, difficulty, writing off the land, these suicide notes that went out. And I didn't speak a whole lot. I really didn't share the story with my family or with my parents. I was brought back to the States and I went directly into Louisiana State University College. And out of this great deal of shame that was holding me, I wanted to do great things. And even before the wedding and before being put in this very difficult situation, I was doing things like the March of Dimes. I went to amazing, I longed for attention. And one of the places that I found it was close to our home in a old retirement home. I'd go after school and go visit with the retirees and serve sort of like the afternoon snack or stick around and do dinner. I did things with different organizations. So I had this love for serving and I found a great deal of connection from serving people. And when I got back to the States really silent in my response to things and silent, I found being able to serve. And I took a path of becoming a medical doctor. And this path of, I thought I would be the Mother Teresa of medicine. And I would heal a great deal of people. And I'd committed myself to being in the most horrible places that I could find that other doctors wouldn't go to.
Right.
It was a way for me to heal, and also a way in which to really come to love myself and see myself as I am, this expression of love, expression of service, and expression of joy, rather than the way I had seen myself in those difficult periods of time.
Yeah,
it
sounds like that you had obviously gone through some really traumatic things. And it's really interesting because cultures are so different, and yet what's normal in Pakistan, here we look at like that's insane. But again, it's tradition, and you know, people are raised in different ways in different cultures, and so it's understandable. But the fact that you were able to survive that and come through it and find something positive in that and find a way to get through it and say, okay, well, you were still able to go back to your original path, I think is what's really interesting for me, is that you were able to work through the pain and then also find out a way to go back to who you really are and honor who you wanted to be, and which is someone who brings love and joy to those that are in need, especially after having experienced that. And sometimes I feel that we go through experiences similar to yours, so we have an understanding and a compassion for others that are going through similar situations. Do you find that's true?
Oh, I find that so true. And I think we go through situations really. Today, when I look back at those experiences and I look back at the child and the woman that I was, I am so grateful for every one of those. I feel it helped me cultivate a deep, deep understanding for the culture there, the culture here, a deep love and appreciation, because I truly feel there are no accidents. And in the time frame that I wasn't conscious, in the time frame that I was medicated and writing those notes out, I had some of the most profound experiences of my life, connecting with and knowing what's on the other side, so to speak, on the other side of the veil, in and out of near-death experiences. I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't change any of it because of who I am today and the understandings that come through the deepest, darkest, most horrific feelings of self and experiences with other humans. I wouldn't change it because it allows me to really relate to everyone that I get to be with or connect with. And I love this deep layer of connection, this ability to feel and know what's happening and to know how to work through it. And I think that's how I led into the medical and behavioral aspects and real dedication for wanting each person to find the truest expression of themselves as a human being. I feel that when we find that truest expression, we have peace within ourselves. And that peace within ourselves gives us this ability to connect and create for each other joy and create for each other tools that help us be truly seen together and healed together. And I believe right now we're living in some of the most difficult times with conflict in different regions, different lands, conflict within our communities. And this is the time for us to step into our truest expressions. If we're worried about being uncomfortable in our skin, like not enjoying the way that we look or not enjoying the way that we, one aspect of ourselves, we're not able to go beyond that fragment in order to serve sometimes. And for me, I took my fragmented self, threw myself into serving, threw myself into going places that I'd always wanted to contribute to a little bit. And that fragmented self helped that service bring out the truest expression of myself. And I think right now in the crazy, amazing, beautiful world that we're living in, the being afraid, being at war with ourselves, being unable to see what we're here for, results in sometimes for us not being able to give and do the peace-loving, humanitarian, responsible things, fun things that we gave ourselves to do being here.
Well, you know, especially at this time, you know, it seems that a lot of the propaganda is fear-based, and fear will freeze anyone from doing anything. If you're afraid, you're just going to hold back, and it's your basic instinct for survival. So, but if you're coming from a place of love as opposed to a place from fear, then you're more trusting. And I feel that a lot of people are looking at what's going on in the world and saying, yes, this dramatic thing has happened, but yet we can be safe and we can't buy into the fear. I think a spotlight is being put on a lot of things that are happening out there for the first time. Tragedies have happened all around the world for a long time, and you're getting spotlights put on these darker areas just to bring them to light and to work through them. And I agree with you where if we can get to a place where we can see ourselves and just honor ourselves and say, okay, hey, we can make it through this and we can actually have something magical happen. You went through a transformation. So in your practice, have you always felt that you've had an intuitive sense to helping people and picking out what people need to help them get through whatever's bothering them?
It's such a great question. And I love your sharing. It's so lovely. I find that everything that we're not able to share and forgive and accept, even acknowledge and accept, creates a result in our body. That result in our body shows up, especially in our heartbeat. The HeartMath Institute has found that when we're carrying frustration and when we're carrying resistance and we're carrying aspects that we haven't acknowledged or accepted about ourselves or about the world that we're in, our rhythm, the rhythm of our heart, shows that there is a coherence within ourselves that is affected. And scientifically proven now, it is scientifically proven, whatever we're not able to acknowledge and accept that is occurring around us is having a result on our body and having a result out in the world. And so, and it is creating the results out in the world of what we're feeling and thinking on the inside. Our heart has an electrical and magnetic field around it. The electrical and magnetic field is amazing. Your heart brings into, magnetizes, electrifies in your environment the exact situations that you need in order to have the deepest healing that's possible for yourself. And so we are, as much as we think, as much as we feel, as much as we are, we're generating day to day moment to moment, the exact experiences we need in order to acknowledge, accept, and create a wholeness around all of our issues. If we don't do, if we're not moving forward, there is no neutral space within us. We're either creating it or we're in the process of creating the opposite of freedom and self-expression. If we're not creating that, we're creating dis-ease within our bodies. We're creating disease and dis-ease from those things that we haven't acknowledged, those things we haven't accepted and made peace with in our world and in our own personal lives.
Have you found that different people that you've worked with, do they come in with a certain ache or a certain pain? Because I agree with you 1,000%, by the way, that different thoughts will manifest. And if you don't release that negativity, if you don't release that frustration, it just comes out in a different way. And it causes either pain or it causes cancer. Or it causes these different things. And they've proven this.
Yes.
I mean, healing cancer through comedy. I mean, like if you listened, if you ever watched The Secret, the woman was there talking about that for 3 months. She did nothing but watch funny movies.
In the movie The Secret, and another one of my favorites, which What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes, yep, another show, great one.
Another great one. They show all of these ways in which we're able to heal. And so in the work that I do, people come in with headaches and breast cancer, come in with digestive issues, come in with joint pain. And we always get to we get to the thought that generated it, and we work through a process of acknowledging and accepting what it is that created it. And magnificent things happen with depression, with weight loss, with releasing the pain and in your head, with being able to release the joint pain. And so, generally speaking, things around the breath, things around your lungs have to do with nurturing. The digestive tract, depending on where it is, but the digestive tract has to do really with your gut instincts and listening to yourself and digesting, breaking things down in your life. Your kidneys have to do a great deal with overcoming fear. And stones or bladder issues really have to do with being forced to do things. You yourself force yourself to do things. And so the muscles of your bladder, when you acknowledge and you work through those things, different joints for different reasons, the hips really have to do with taking steps. Sometimes it's steps in receiving. Sometimes it's steps in letting go. The knee joints have to do with flexibility, and aspects of your knee have to do with really being able to engage in problem solving. That your head can, your entire, depending on where and how the migraine headache begins, and some of the symptoms around it, it really gives you clues into what part of your life to make a priority. And so all of the medical things that we have within us, the same DNA that we were born with, the same energetic self that existed in the very beginning when you came, that as a child, if you had tons of energy, tons of possibilities. You can jump anywhere, run anywhere, do anything, shake things off. We still have all of that genetics, all of that within us. It's about knowing how to engage ourselves, our spirit, into utilizing and creating more and more of that youthfulness, activating those parts of us to energize ourselves and to feel really well and healthy. And so it winds up being a fun thing to come in, and your body announces it to me, whether you're in my office or we're on the phone and we have a few conversations, your body will announce what's going on.
So do you have, real quick, because I have two questions with that I want to bring up. One is, do you have a chart that you go by? Is there some, I mean, is it similar to your chakras where, okay, you have a problem with your hip, it's probably this. You have a problem with your digestive system, it's probably this. Is there a chart that is out there that people could say, wow, I'd love to see that chart just to get an idea. Like if I have a constant headache and a headache has to do with whatever, then they can think about that and go, oh yeah, well, I do have an issue with that, that I have a problem making decisions, or I have a problem letting go. My ego is always bruised easily, whatever it might be. Is there a chart? And also,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the second question on top of that is, does everything that you're talking about also tie in with the chakras? Is it similar? So I guess that's the question.
Oh, that's such a great question. And there is a chart, and it's really, the chakra system is really, really great. And I will probably throw up on my website because it would be awesome to throw that up. I've done the chakra system is so profound in each of those for showing up what is occurring with us. So the root chakra, the I am chakra, grounding chakra, if there's issues with the digestive lower end and the way we pump out what we've created, or their sexuality, it's the I am and I create, the lower chakras. The I will have a lot of issues with the upper digestive tract and with the liver. The I will also, so the lower three chakras really show a result in the digestive and the liver and all of the organs in our abdomen. And yes, there is a chart. Most great books, and I love Barbara Brennan's work. Barbara Ann Brennan wrote a book called Hands of Light. She was a NASA scientist, and she's just brilliant for showing how each of the chakras relate and how the environment affects those chakras as well. And so it becomes very, very beautiful. Her work is some of the best work out there for showing that our hands are constantly giving us energy as well. And Dr. Fritz Popp did a lot of research of these areas that are light up, and he found our hands are constantly putting out energy and light, especially our nails. So the chart created by Barbara Brennan, plus the knowing that you have energy coming out of your hands. And so if you want to utilize your own intuition and your own listening, each person in the world has a unique set of DNA, a unique set of fingerprints, a unique set of experiences that the body and the subconscious mind have completely registered. And so if you go into quietness within yourself, you close your eyes, you allow your brain to just pump out the thoughts that it's pumping out, and you ask your hands after a few minutes of stillness and quietness to go to the region that your body needs help in, and listening with your intuition and following the guidance of where your hands move to or go to, and allowing yourself to give yourself energy. The chakra charts really do show if you've got an issue. There are foods that you can eat. There are statements, mind, body, spirit things, and then your hands are constantly generating energy and letting your hands move on and around the areas that have pain or are at dis-ease allows you to heal yourself. And it's really amazing. I believe all healing is self-healing. healing. All we already are underneath ourselves, whole and complete. We've just put layers of energy, layers of thought, layers of discomfort on ourselves, that when we tune in, especially with someone that's practiced, has done this before, when you can tune in with yourself for someone who's done this, you can let go of any of that discomfort, dis-ease. Those charts are great, and they do correlate beautifully. And I highly recommend Barbara Brennan's work. I think Carolyn Mace and Judith Orloff, Dr. Judith Orloff out of UCLA, they've put together in their books as well great charts. And I am always happy. I'm probably going to put that on my website. And with my clients, I do, when they come in, I do send them a package that shows where you have, where the chakras are, the sacraments within our lives, the Erickson's psychological development as well, where those skill sets were developed in our bodies. All of those correlate on this chart, along with the Judeo-Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu belief systems of the sounds and the sort of the skill set that came through that religious tradition to allow for the healing, the mantras or the prayers that exist.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, one of the things that I really love about the way you practice is that you have taken from the Western medicine, from Eastern medicine. I mean, you've taken from all these different cultures. And because there's so much wisdom out there, and there's so much that unfortunately some doctors in the field will go, oh, well, I only believe in Western medicine and I discard Eastern, and the opposite. But yet history has shown that there is so much information in the past that can help us with modern science and abilities. And if you combine both, it just seems to be the ultimate, because now you're coming in from two different areas. Instead of just take a pill and this will help your ulcer, it's like, well, let's find out why you have an ulcer, and let's look at the chakras, and let's look at what is going on there and what actually caused the ulcer. Is it you hate your job? You know, I mean, or is it that you're very frustrated at whatever you're going through? Something is causing your digestive system to have that issue. And I think it's really interesting, because a lot of times, you know, in this society, we're like, well, take this medication, and this medication might cause a side effect that's even worse than your actual condition. But this is what we're selling at the moment, instead of going to the root of the matter. And it sounds like what you do is, let's get to the root of the matter. I used to go to a chiropractor once, and I just wanted to share this with you. And he said to me, and I love this guy, he was in Connecticut, he says, my goal is not to see you again. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, I've been doing this for 20-something years. And he goes, all my patients know is I don't want to see you over and over again. And he goes, so tell me what you do, because I had a lower back problem. And I said, well, I play guitar. And he goes, oh, your hip's out of alignment. He goes, show me how you play guitar. And I showed him, and he goes, yeah, you're leaning to the left. He goes, try not to do that. Try to stand this way. What else do you do? And I says, oh, I sit at a desk. I'm a graphic designer. And he goes, show me where your arm goes. As I showed him these two things, he instantly knew what I was doing wrong every single day. And he corrected. He goes, if you correct those two problems or are conscious of it, you won't have to come back and see me. And sure enough, I took that and I went, oh my God, this guy's brilliant. He's not just only brilliant, because he's shown me what I'm doing wrong to correct the situation, so I don't have to keep going back to him for an adjustment every week. So it sounds like that's where you're at. You're going, let's correct the problem, instead of like continually just putting a Band-Aid on it.
It's my favorite thing to do. It truly is. When someone comes in, and I have such a big smile on my face, Tony, for just I love your chiropractor. I mean, he comes from the tradition in the East, and prior to us building these medical schools that we have now, it was by grace that you wound up being chosen or taken under the wing of a doctor. and trained as a healer, trained because you showed evidence of caring for humanity and the wisdom that goes with it. Today, our medical system here in the U.S. has been designed by a lot of the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes.
I went to school in India. I went to med school in India, and I had a grandmother that was the village healer, was the one that trained. She really taught me foods to clean out the uterus, women's health through foods and through herbs. And I get to take people to Egypt, and on the walls in this temple, etched thousands of years ago, is all of the formulas for herbs and for elixirs and for smells, different essential oils that cure all illnesses of the time, something growing funny. And through the Rosetta Stone, being able to translate. The Rosetta Stone was a stone found that has three languages on it, one of which was the hieroglyphs. Because the other two languages were understood, the hieroglyphs could be translated based on that. And the translations show that we've already known plant medicine. We've already known oils, essential oils that create and heal completely all aspects of the body. The doctors that took care of the emperors in China, the doctors got to live like the emperors, like as long as the emperor was alive. When the emperor passed, so did all of his doctors. Those were some really committed doctors.
And it gave them good incentive to keep him healthy, right? This is what we're doing.
they were so committed to their wellness. And so they recorded over 5,000 years worth of information in traditional Chinese medicine. And this is stuff that I love to learn, love to study, love to teach you where the meridians, these energy ley lines on our body are, that you can press upon or, again, engage with your hands, the reflexology points in your hands and in your feet. And literally, the meridians, the energy points in your body have been laid out. And so seeing an acupuncturist doing acupressure points on yourself and really 5,000 years worth of information documented. This is a story that really, my husband's mom passed at a younger age than her mom. And that was under the care of the physicians here. My grandparents, I'm worried for my parents not outliving the age of my grandparents. Based on what we've done to medicine, our grandparents, many of them, great-grandparents, lived a lot longer than the generations we're in now, based on having great practices that were practical and very, very intuitive, like cod liver oil, taking a spoonful of oil every day. The essential fatty acids that we get preserved their brains, boosted our immune system, kept down inflammation. That we had these regular practices, and yet modern medicine has made ridiculous what we do now. We expect these miracle pills to take care of everything within our bodies, rather than having a moment-to-moment awareness of what we can do. One of the things that I remember learning growing up was like, chew your food 32 times, count. I remember sitting at the table and counting at least 32 chews and then swallowing. That intelligence, allows, you can see this now when we have the magic bullets and we do the NutriBullet and we make, chop everything up, but we've literally got it in our mouth. If food is in our mouth for 32 chews, further down the track, our digestive tract can make the enzymes, can release the enzymes that are already made to digest that food. But if we're in a rush to swallow and to eat without even taking our natural abilities into account, oh, I can chew this and my body can absorb the nutrients. A lot of people are gaining a lot of weight because their body is starving for nutrients. The nutrients are available in most of their food. Because our body's so intelligent, you just chew your food. Your body will bind to it what it needs to take and send out what it no longer needs. But if we're not chewing it small enough, but parts for our body to handle. Tony, did your parents make you chew? Grandparents make you chew your food?
Actually, you know, it's interesting because I'm thinking about that. And I was raised in an Italian tradition, so we ate constantly. And I've just been blessed with a very, very high metabolism because I should probably be like 300 pounds. But no, I don't really remember them saying to chew your food over and over again. But I will say this, though. A lot of the food that we ate growing up, my dad grew in our garden, and he still grows a lot of food in his garden. And we all sat around the table and ate as a family. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you would sit for an hour or 2 hours. I mean, anyone growing up in an Italian family will know that food is the basis for any entertainment. The kitchen table is your entertainment spot. So it's very common for us to sit for 2 to 3 hours, just sit around and eat. So there was no rush, where it seems like today's society, everyone's trying to eat on the run. And I could see your point of going, they're not eating properly, so they're not taking the time to actually sit and chew and enjoy your food. It's more like, I got to eat something. Just let's get it done and move on.
And so. What I like is that you have a relationship with food.
Yes.
And it's I love to take people to Egypt. I love to take them to Sicily, Italy. Those are two places that I often take small groups for immersion experiences. And we redevelop that relationship with food. It's awesome for us to really feel the energy of our food. So often we've created with our mind guilt around anything that we're eating, and that energy goes into our food. And then we're at the mercy of our guilt system, letting go, holding on as well. That energy of praying over your food, sitting, having a relationship, that's part of the reason you have a great metabolism, is because you truly take in all the relationships around, and there isn't that guilt around food. It's enjoyment and love and family. That's what food means to you.
That's interesting. That's really interesting, because I totally can understand and relate to what you just said. For me, eating, sometimes if I'm in a rush, it's a chore, but yet when I was raised, for the most part, it's been always just this, we sit down and eat. Hey, it's time to eat. And everyone would gather around and we sit and discuss and we eat. I mean, that's the Italian way, I guess, at least in my household and every Italian that I've known. So it's really interesting. That's my relationship with it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And around food, the earth just gives to us. She's constantly just giving and giving and giving her food, her nutrients, her water, her warmth, her coolness, whatever it is, the earth is giving to us. And it reminds me of what St. Francis of Assisi said. And he said something to the effect of, remember, when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, only what you have given. And a heart, I think it goes, a heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. And I think of when we look at our food and we're like, wow, the earth has given this to me, and I'm going to enjoy every bit of this food because it's the earth's service to me. And it's and I think of a fruit tree. A fruit tree is so happy to keep producing fruit. It doesn't say, "Oh, where did my fruit go? Don't eat that fruit. It's my fruit."
Exactly. Yeah.
It's, a fruit tree is so happy to give. And I think this is so important. The sun is giving to the earth constantly. And that's from a Rumi quote where it doesn't say back what, you know, it never asks for anything back from the earth. The sun is just constantly giving. And we're receiving the light and the nutrients and the warmth. The earth is constantly giving out to everyone in every possible way that it can. And then here we are with these great expressions of ourselves. And truly, what are we giving ourselves? And what are we giving all the way around? It's such a beautiful way to look at what can I constantly joyfully, lovingly, and sometimes on my great days, it's these big things, and on my not so great days, it might just be a smile is what I can give out today, or being able to generate a few words out that say to others, "Oh, I need a little bit of time for myself," so that you're giving clear direction for what you need. And it takes us beyond being fragmented and takes us beyond being in conflict when we can generate from the space of what do I have to give and what do I have to give myself? What do I have to give others? And how can I deliver that or give that in a way that's loving and courageous?
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we are almost out of time here. We can talk for hours. I love listening to all the information that you have. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you. Give us your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. My website is drsarahlarsen.com. That's D-R-S-A-R-A-H, Larsen, L-A-R-S-E-N. .com. And I have some gifts on my website. I have a self-love guided meditation. I've got ways to forgive. I've got the best medical practice of oil pulling. What we do in India almost every day, oil pulling. And so I would love for everyone to visit and receive something on the website, ways to forgive, health practices, and also a self-love guided meditation. And that's, I love being of service because to me, I truly get that we're one and that we're here to wake ourselves up and truly enjoy life like children enjoy life. And when we're able to all play together, we can truly generate peace on earth for everyone.
Amen. Well, thank you so much again for being a guest on our show. We really appreciate all that you're doing for humanity out there and for all the people that have gotten a chance to experience your healing. Just thank you from everyone to you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be on your show. Thank you for highlighting this. I think it's so beautiful what you give. Thank you.
So every week, I like to dedicate a song to our guests. And this week, I chose a song that I wrote called Reinvent Your Life, because Sarah is helping people to reinvent themselves as they learn to heal their own body. This is Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone.
Love, lost herself within his touch, walked away. saved from a Hollywood dream. Came into this world, girl, like a butterfly. It's time to spread your wings and reinvent your life. She worked so hard to raise a son, gave him unconditional love, raised him up enough to leave the nest. Came into this world, girl, like a butterfly. At 45, it's time to reinvent your life. Chapter 3 has arrived. Time to reassess, time to reinvent. Reinvent your life. Reinvent your life. Oh, yeah. 26, she became a dad.
Once again, that was Reinvent Your Life by Saint Tone. You could find that song and a lot of other positive songs at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.